All right, welcome everyone. So today's parsha is technically parsha's Mitzora, but I'm not going to do that. I figured in preparation for Pesach, I wanted to go to some of the Pesach parts of the Chumash. You know, there's so much time that's always spent on the Haggadah and on certain things. I just wanted to actually learn a portion of the actual text of the Chumash as it relates to the Haggadah, of course, and to the whole story. So I chose a section. It's on page 360, in the middle of towards the end of Parshas Bo. And I personally don't usually have a chance to actually prepare and go through in depth just some of the psukim regarding this part of the Chumash. I thought it would be a nice opportunity both for me and hopefully for you to do so. So what I wanted to learn was the beginning of Perek Yud Gimel, the 13th chapter. We'll learn maybe the first 9 or so psukim if time will allow, and glean some nice things from this. Where we're up to in our story, we have actually completed Makos Bechoros. We've already completed the 10th of the 10 plagues. The Jewish people have already been given the mitzvah of the Karban Pesach. That is the majority of the 12th chapter, the chapter which immediately precedes what we're about to study. They were given the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh, which is what we discussed when we actually learned through Parshas Bo, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, the mitzvah to declare Rosh Chodesh. They went through the Pesach offering, the mitzvah of keeping the Yontif of Pesach, and then the 10th plague also takes place in this chapter. So if you look at the last verse before Perek Yud Gimel, before the 13th chapter, Pasuk Nun Aleph 51, just to put us in context of where we're up to, Vayihi Be'etzem Hayoyim Hazeh, happened on that very day, Hotzi Hashem Es B'nei Yisrael Me'eretz Mitzrayim, Al Tzivoy Sav Hashem, took the Jewish people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt, in their legions, in mass, we left. So that's the context of where we are up to, as far as the verses that we are about to learn, where they are coming from. Okay. Says the Chumash, Vaydaber, says Hashem, Vaydaber Hashem al Moshe Leimar. So Hashem speaks to Moshe saying, this is now what I want you to tell the Jewish people in the context as we are on our way out of Mitzrayim, following the entire episodes which we are familiar with, the 10 plagues and all that took place. Kadesh li kol b'chor, sanctify for me all firstborns. Peter kol rechem b'vnei Yisrael, the first issue of every womb among the children of Israel, ba'adam uva'beheima, both man and animal, li who is mine. Sanctify for me, they are now mine, the firstborn. So Hashem teaches here through Moshe the halacha of the sanctification of the firstborn. As you note, it's explicit in the Chumash that the firstborn does not distinguish between man or animal. They are both to be sanctified. They are sanctified already in the womb, meaning as soon as the first child is conceived, they are sanctified. And Hashem says it in an interesting way. He says, sanctify for me, li hu, they are mine. They belong to me. Now, the practical application of this halacha, there are actually three types of firstborns that are sanctified. There is the firstborn human child, which is a firstborn male child, firstborn from the mother, not necessarily from the father. Even though in Mitzrayim, the plague of the death of the firstborn struck down firstborns, whether or not it was the firstborn of the mother, or even if it was just the firstborn of the father, as far as the sanctity of the Jewish firstborn goes, it goes based on the mother's firstborn. Her first issue of her womb has the sanctity of the firstborn. There's only one non-kosher animal which has the sanctity of the firstborn. Anyone know? The donkey, it's correct. The donkey is the only non-kosher animal which has the sanctity of the firstborn. On topic for another discussion, why that should be. But both the human and the donkey firstborn are different than the regular. All the third category are kosher animals. All kosher animals, their firstborn, first issue from a female kosher animal, is also sanctified as kadosh. What happens to the firstborn animals? They are offered as a sacrifice. They're brought as a korban. And the human, the male child, and the donkey is redeemed for money. So that when the donkey is either born or a male child is born, they are sanctified, and they're redeemed to a Kohen for money. The money is given to a Kohen, and then the owner of the animal or the parents of the child take their child back. And this is what's known as a pidyon haben, which is done after 30 days when a Jewish child, a male child, is born, and the male child is the first child of the mother. So there's a redemption which takes place, and that's known as the pidyon haben with the Kohen, and the whole mitzvah affiliated with that. Okay, let's learn some Rashi. Says Rashi, this is in Pesuk Beis, it's the last four lines in the second column, page 360. Says Rashi, Peter Kol Rechem. The first Rashi just describes the meaning of the word Peter Kol Rechem. So I want to do the two lines from the bottom with the beginning word, Lihu, they belong to me. What's the problem that Rashi has to deal with on that phrase? Hashem says, sanctify for me the firstborn, they are mine.
Well, it's singular versus plural. Does that make a difference?
Meaning what? Lihu, meaning because it's Lihu, like they're, that's a singular phrase?
I thought. Not right. Okay.
I'm saying it's not right. I'm just saying that's not the question Rashi's bothered by.
Okay.
What does Hashem not own in this world?
Nothing.
Correct. So here you have Hashem saying, right out of Adam Mitzrayim, say to the Jewish people, all firstborns, they are mine. So Rashi's bothered by, what do you mean they are mine? Everything is yours. In what way or why should the firstborns be yours more than anything else? So Rashi comments, I lost my place, I'm sorry, Lihu, la'atzmi kinisim, I have acquired them for me, al yedei shihikisi b'chorei Mitzrayim. Because I have struck down the firstborn of Mitzrayim, because the tenth plague was the death of the firstborn, through that, says Hashem, I have acquired them to me. I've somehow, because of the fact that all firstborns really should have been killed, what do the Jewish firstborns do in order not to be killed? They have to go through the whole process, with the blood on the doorpost and the Karban Pesach. So through that process, the net result was, says Hashem, I have personally acquired to me the firstborns, and the result of that acquisition is that they're now sanctified. Kadesh li kol b'chor, they are sanctified to me. They are mine. They need to be redeemed if they are a human child or a non-kosher animal, that of the donkey. If they are a kosher animal, they need to be brought to the Beis HaMikdash and offered as a korban, and they're mine because of the acquisition that I have made through the makos b'choros, through the killing of the firstborn in Mitzrayim. Now, I just want to point out parenthetically before I make one last point on this pasuk before we go on, even though the language is kadesh li kol b'chor, you should sanctify to me, the halacha is that these things are sanctified with or without the human input. Whether or not a person declares his firstborn animal to be kadosh, or whether or not he treats it with any special holiness or sanctity, and it doesn't matter, they are holy. By definition, the firstborn is holy, and Hashem has simply given us a mitzvah to verbally, actively sanctify, to fulfill that mitzvah, but it would happen on its own. Now, I want to just point out a thought that my Rosh Hashiva, Reb Chaim Yaakov Goldwich, used to say. I read this in one of his books. Just the interesting point that through an acquisition comes holiness. This idea that Hashem says, I have acquired the firstborn to me, and somehow through that acquisition becomes something of holiness. And he just points out a pattern. A Kohen is allowed to eat truma, for example. Truma is the portion of our crops which are designated, tithed out to a Kohen. And it has a very special status, truma. You know, anyone know what the punishment is for a non-Kohen who eats truma? It's a death penalty. It's not a based in human death penalty, but it's a heavenly death penalty. Misa bidei shamayim. Serious stuff, truma. Person, because once it takes on that status of the holiness of truma, it cannot be consumed by anybody who's not a Kohen. Do you know that when a Kohen purchases a slave, through his acquisition, the slave is allowed to eat truma? Mm-hmm. When a Kohen purchases an animal, the animal is allowed to be fed truma. When a Kohen, becomes married, when he acquires, so to speak, when he's mekadesh a woman as his wife, that woman can also now eat chuma. There is an elevated status becoming the... Now, I use the word property. It's obviously different when it's property between the eved, the slave, and the animal, and a wife. But when one becomes acquired, in a halachic sense, to a kohen, you become elevated to the status of the holiness of the kohen, and you are now also permitted to eat of that truma. So he points out that parallel in which Hashem says, I have acquired the firstborn. I've acquired them through the process of Makos Bechoros, the death of the firstborn in the tenth of the ten plagues. I have acquired to me the firstborn. What was the result of Hashem's acquiring the firstborn? They also became sanctified. The animal now has to be brought as a korban. It has to be redeemed. The human child has to be redeemed because it's somehow more than the rest of the world, which is all owned by Hashem. Hashem has somehow acquired for himself the firstborn, and with that becomes this elevated status of holiness. All right, let's move on.
A daughter too, a daughter of a kohen.
A daughter can also eat truma until she gets married. Okay. Once she gets married, then she becomes, so to speak, mekudeshes, sanctified, betrothed to, if it's a non-kohen, then she becomes his, and then she can no longer eat truma. Oh. If she were to become divorced or widowed and goes back to her father's house, then she could eat truma again. Yeah. Unless she has children. If she has children from her Yisrael husband, then she cannot go back to her father's house and eat truma, because her children, she now has non-Kohen children. If she were to get married and divorced or widowed without having children, then she could go back and eat truma.
So the firstborn are spared, the Jewish people. Two classes ago we talked about Nadav and Avihu, where Hashem says, I will be sanctified through them, and they are killed. And it seems like it's the same words, except they are killed. Here, all the Jewish people are spared. I think one of them was the firstborn. Nadav probably was the firstborn. I wonder if there's any connection between the sanctification of them and this, I mean, it's the same words that are used. I remember you saying, I think
yes, the Krovaya Kadesh. Yes, I don't know. It's an interesting point. I don't know. Okay, let's move forward. Vayomer Moshe, Pasuk Gimel, verse 3, Vayomer Moshe El Ha'om. Now, Pasuk Beis, or Pasuk Aleph, I should say, was Vayidaber Hashem El Moshe Lemor. The beginning of this paragraph was, Hashem speaks to Moshe saying, this is what I need you to do. And then Pasuk Gimel says, Moshe then begins to speak to the people. I don't know what to make of that. I just noticed that as I was preparing this. Is this no longer... I'm just not sure what to make of that. I find that interesting. Where you have that opening line of Eidaber Hashem Moshe Lemor, and that apparently, I don't know, was that not said to the Jewish people? And then Moshe says to the people, without that first verse, he goes on up. I don't know. Interesting. Just pointing it out. Anyway, Moshe says to the people as follows: the Zochor es Hayoyim Hazeh Asher Yetzasam Mimitzrayim. Remember this day that you have left, you departed from Egypt, mi beis avadim, from the house of bondage. Ki b'chizek yod hotzi Hashem eschem mizeh, because it is with a strong hand that Hashem has removed you from here. Velo yeyachel chametz, and therefore do not eat chametz. Couple of ideas here. So first, how does the verse begin? Zochor es Hayoyim Hazeh. What do you think about that? Remember this day in which you departed from Mitzrayim. So we learn from here, says Rashi. Rashi calls the bottom line of the page on page 360. Lomad, we learn from this pasuk, Shemazkirin Yetzias Mitzrayim B'chol Yom. You have an obligation to recall, to mention verbally the exodus from Mitzrayim every day. Because the pasuk says, Moshe says to the people, remember, Zochor es Hayoyim Hazeh Asher Yetzasam Mitzrayim. I think I've mentioned many times as we've gone through the Chumash and various issues, right at the end of Shacharis in your standard art scroll sitter, many siddurim print this as well, not just art scroll, it's on page 176 in your regular sitter, there are what's known as the Sheish Zechiros, the six remembrances. And what's printed in the back of the sitter are six times where it says Zochor in the Torah, the things to remember. So people have adopted, the Jewish people have adopted a custom to say them at the end of davening every day, because the Torah says to remember, and these are the things that I remember. Remember destruction of Amalek, Zochor es Yom HaShabbos L'Kodesho, remember Shabbos. And various others, you can look them all up. The first one that's printed here in the Siddur is Leman Tizkor, that you should remember as Yom Tzeischa Me'eretz Mitzrayim Kol Yimei Chayecha, that you should remember the day you left Mitzrayim all the days of your life, which is a specific pasuk taken from the end of Devarim, which is not our exact verse. This is the pasuk that's in Shema. No, it's not even in Shema. So it's just in order that you should remember as Yom Tzeischa Me'kol Yimei Chayecha. And this is in fulfillment of this pasuk that we just read that says, Moshe says to the people, Zachor Asa Yom Asher Asa Yom Hazeh, remember this day. There's an obligation to remember, which we fulfill in Shema, both in the morning Shema and the night Shema. We actually say twice, but you will certainly note that we recall Mitzrayim in almost everything that we do. Zecher Liyetzias Mitzrayim is a phrase which is oft repeated throughout the Jewish calendar. Many, many mitzvahs, we throw in Zecher L'Yetzias Mitzrayim. Even in Kiddush on Shabbos, we mention Zecher L'Yetzias Mitzrayim, because this is the foundation stone of everything that we have. This is where the Jewish people came into direct contact with Hashem as a people, witnessing the miraculous events, an understanding of what emunah is, of what a faithfulness, an understanding, a belief, a recognition, a knowledge, all of that is all wrapped up into this episode of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and it's therefore repeated often. And here you actually have Moshe saying that to the people. There's a mitzvah, Zachor Asa Yom Asher Yetzias Mitzrayim, remember the day that you left Mitzrayim. The pasuk then concludes with a strong hand you left. Hashem took you out with a strong hand, miraculous events. He showed you His strength. And therefore, the end of that verse, which would almost seem to be a little bit out of place, V'lo ye'achil chametz. And therefore, don't eat chametz. It doesn't say that you left in a great hurry, therefore don't eat chametz. It just says, Hashem took you out. Remember the day He took you out with great strength, and don't eat chametz. And this is certainly our source, one of several, of the prohibition of eating chametz. It's repeated elsewhere in the Torah, but it is also repeated here, in which Moshe tells the Jewish people as they go out. So far we started with the mitzvah of Kiddush Bechorim, how the firstborns are sanctified. We have the mitzvah to remember the fact that we left every day. And then we have the prohibition of eating chametz. In the midst of this, the Torah then continues, says Moshe, Hayoim atem yotzim b'chodesh ha'aviv. Today you are leaving. Again, this is literally, as we said, this is as the Jewish people are leaving Egypt. And Moshe says to them, today you are leaving in the month of the springtime. What's the problem with this verse? Okay. What's Moshe's job as far as the Jewish people goes? Okay, I'm in the bigger picture. What's his role, I should say? He's the teacher of Torah. He's the leader of the Jewish people. Jewish people are leaving. Imagine us all leaving today.
Not we.
One second. Imagine we're all leaving. And we walk outside and we all say, oh, it's so nice, I don't even need my coat, it's springtime. Moshe stands up on his pedestal and he says, my friends, today you are leaving in the spring. And then he goes on to talk about something else. Question. What are you saying? I know it's springtime. I mean, I walked outside, I'm here with you, Moshe, I know it's springtime. You didn't tell me always celebrate this holiday in this. You didn't tell me a commandment. Now we have a mitzvah that Pesach needs to be in the springtime. Shamor es chodesh aviv. We spoke about this, I believe, once or twice. That's why we have a combination of our calendar of lunar. We're really a lunar calendar, and we add a month in order that Pesach should always come out in the spring, because since the lunar calendar is 11 days shorter than the solar calendar, so Pesach would always get earlier and earlier and earlier and earlier. Soon it would be in the middle of the winter. So in order to make sure that it stays in the spring, we add an extra month. But that's not the commandment over here. This isn't saying keep Pesach always in the springtime. It's saying today you are leaving in the month of springtime. I need Moshe Rabbeinu in the Torah to teach me, to tell the Jewish people whom he's speaking to that they're leaving in the springtime? Is this bothering anybody? Am I just making up a question that nobody hears? Yes? No?
Unless he means that the Jewish people themselves are going to be like all the foliage around us and so on. But
some form of a renewal.
Yeah.
Green Pesach. So Rashi asks the question that I'm trying to express. I didn't make it up. Rashi says at the top of your page. V'chilo hayu yoidin be'eze chodesh yotzu. Did nobody else know what month they were leaving in? Did nobody else notice the season that it was as they left Egypt that they needed Moshe Rabbeinu to point out to them? Hayom, today, look, it's spring. There's no mitzvah affiliated with this verse. There's no commandments. There's no instruction. It's just a statement. Today is springtime. Says Rashi, this is Chumash we're learning here. We're learning the Torah. What's Moshe saying? Says Rashi, Elakach Omer Lahem. This is what Moshe is telling the Jewish people. Re'u chesed shegomalchem. Look at the chesed. Look at the kindness that Hashem is doing for you. Shehoitzi eschem b'choideh shehu kosher lotzeis. He's taking you out at a time that is fitting to leave. You ever packed up for a trip in the rain? Oh, it's the worst. You get all your bags, trying to get into the car, and get everything organized, and the rain just makes it real difficult. It's an unpleasant start. Your clothes are all wet, you're getting in the car, or it's cold. Says Moshe to the Jewish people, stands up on his pedestal and says, take note. Look at the chesed that Hashem did, that he took you out in the spring. V'lo chama, v'lo tzina, v'lo gishamim. It's not too hot, it's not too cold, it's not rain, it's just nice. Excellent. Yosef was sold down to Mitzrayim, and Hashem there did miraculous events that the general odors affiliated with the types of people who sold him down to Mitzrayim didn't affect him. Excellent. Same kind of idea. So here you have this pasuk of Hayom Atem Yotzim Chodesh Aviv. Moshe says to the Jewish people, see the chesed that Hashem is doing. Now, I want to briefly mention, I spoke about this last year, Pesach, from the pulpit. I imagine most of you were probably not there. It was one of the nights of Pesach. I don't remember which night. But you could still ask on this. So you'd say, the Jewish people have been slaves for 210 years, the last 80 of which had been just horrific. Would they have minded if it was raining on their way out? Would they have cared if it was a little bit colder or warmer than what they would have liked? This is not... It's one thing when, you know, it could have gone either way. What a nice thing that you added this level. It wasn't... They were leaving the worst possible place that they could have been in. There was nothing that could have gotten any worse, spiritually or physically, than where they were. And here, Hashem does it, that He takes them out in springtime, and then Moshe makes a big deal of saying, Re'u, look. Look and see what He did. So I just want to point out again from my Rosh Hashiva, Rav Goldwacht, from Keren B'Yavne. So he pointed out, this is a whole shmooze unto itself, I'll just mention it briefly. There's a difference between Rachmanos and Chesed. The difference between having compassion for somebody and doing somebody a kindness. The primary difference is whether or not you're fulfilling a need that the other person has. When a person has a need, and you see the need, and you feel bad that they have the need, and you're compassionate on them because there is a need, and you fill that need, you are what we would call a rachamun, someone who has compassion. Because look, the person's standing out in the rain and he doesn't have an umbrella, and you stop and you offer them a ride. Why did you stop and offer? Why did I stop and offer them a ride? The poor guy is schlepping in the rain. He doesn't have an umbrella or carrying bags. So I gave him a ride. There was a need. I saw the need, and I want to fulfill that need in order that that person still shouldn't be lacking. Had I been driving down the streets and didn't see that person, or the car right in front of me would have picked them up before me, so just as well. Thank God there's no need. Everything has been taken care of, and everybody is good, and I continue on my merry way. The midah of chesed is a different midah. The midah of chesed is one which comes from within a person and says, I have a burning desire to give of myself to others. Not because you lack something, but because I want to give. And that's a very different trait. That's a trait that says, when you come to my house, the way the sages express this in the difference between the hachnasas orchim of I think they were comparing Eov to Avram, but I don't remember exactly who they were comparing. But on one, the sages say, your midah of hachnasas orchim, your midah of inviting guests into your home, is those who are accustomed to eating fancy meats and drinking expensive wines, you feed expensive meats and give to drink fancy wines. And those who are not accustomed to that, so you give them that which they're accustomed to as they come into your home. That's how you feed them. But the midah of Avraham is those who never tasted fancy meat before. To them he gives fancy meats. And to those who are not accustomed to expensive wine, to them he gives expensive wine. Explanation being, the lower level, it's certainly chesed, it's a kindness. But it's a level of fulfilling the need of the person who's in front of you. You're used to this. Whatever you're used to, that's what you're lacking. That's what you feel you need. That's what I want to fulfill. That's what I want to make sure that you have. So if you're not used to getting something fancy, why would I go out of my way to give that to you? You don't even know what you're missing. But you're used to eating this, so you don't have it. I want to at least provide that for you. The means of Avram, who was our model of chesed, I don't care what you're used to, I want to give you the best possible. You would have never even known the difference. You wouldn't have known there's anything better out there. But it's worth it for me to go through with the extra effort because I have an inner yearning, a desire to give of myself to you. Whenever I have to give is what I'm looking at, not fulfilling whatever lack you might have. That's the difference between what we call a racham on one who has compassion and one who wants to do chesed. Is it born out of seeing a need? It's a reaction to seeing something. I see a problem, I want to fulfill it. It's a beautiful trait. I don't want to downplay that at all. Halavai, we all should be there. When we see a problem, we jump in to fix it. But that's, if it's a response to a problem, it's generally coming from a midah of I feel bad. I have compassion for what it is that I'm seeing. I want that to go away. The midah of chesed is a person who is actively looking to do something, because it's not a response to something, it's from within a desire to give, to help, to be involved. That's the midah of chesed. And that's learned, it's one of the sources, there are many, that's learned from here. Moshe says, Hashem, who is the absolute Baal Chesed, the Meitiv, he who's doing good, he doesn't do good to us because we lack something and he wants to fulfill. He wants, the nature of Hashem is one who bestows kindness upon everybody. So a manifestation of that is, in our introduction as a Jewish people to Hashem, through these events of Mitzrayim, Moshe says, look at how he took you out. He took you out in the springtime. No rain, not too hot, not too cold. And the Jewish people say, who cares? That we're running out of here as fast as we can. It doesn't make it. I don't even have time to bake my dough into bread. I'm just out of here. I don't care what the temperature's like outside. Moshe says, no, but note, it's not because you're lacking it, and it's not because you would care, would have noticed even the difference. It's because Hashem is teaching you in his introduction to you another aspect, another facet of his relationship with you, and that is, he's looking to do good things to you even when you're not even lacking. So you have here a specific pasuk in the Torah saying, Hayom atem yotzim machodesh aviv, it is today that you are leaving in the springtime, to be noted by the Jewish people, to see the chesed that Hashem is doing for us. Let us move on. So far, we've had in this paragraph, we start off with the concept of the holiness of the firstborn. We moved into the concept of remembering the mitzvah to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim every day. We move from there the prohibition of eating chametz, and then we have the statement of look at the time of year, look at the temperature outside, the springtime, and recall and note the chesed, the kindness that Hashem is doing for you. Continues Moshe in Pasuk Kei, the Hayoki of Yocho Hashem El Eretz HaKenani, when Hashem will bring you into the land of the Kenani, Achiti, Ho'emori, Achivi, Vaivusi. We list here five of the out of the seven nations. Asher Nishpal Avosecho Lo Seislach, when you will get to the land that Hashem has promised you, which is a land of Eretz Zovas Cholov Udvash, a land flowing with milk and honey. When you get there, when you get there, you will do this service. You shall perform this service in this month. What is this a service to? This verse that says when you get to the land of Israel, you will perform this service. Any guesses? Sacrifice, that's correct. In context, one would not know what this is referring to because we have no context. Rashi points out, and the sages say that whenever you have the stam avoda, whenever it says perform a service and there's no specifics affiliated with what that service is, it's always a reference to the Karban Pesach. That's what it's a reference to, and that's what this is referring to as well. You shall perform this service, you'll perform the Karban Pesach. Now we're going to learn a Rashi, which I want to do in a few minutes. I want to read two more Pesukim, and then we'll get to the Rashi, which is on this Pesach. Well, I'll tell you his question, and then we'll read further, and we'll get back to his answer. This is not the first place where this has been taught. I mentioned to you in the beginning of the introduction to this chapter, a good bulk of the 12th chapter of Shmos, the chapter preceding the one that we're learning now, describes in detail the mitzvah of the Karban Pesach. How you do it, when you do it, where you do it. So this verse, which is an instruction of when you get to the land that I promised your fathers, when you get to the land flowing with milk and honey, the land which is now occupied by the seven nations, do this service, is actually entirely unnecessary. It's a singular verse out of place. We have an entire chapter almost which describes those laws previously. So Rashi is bothered by why is it repeated over here. Before we get to his answer, we will learn a couple of more verses. Vav, Pasuk, 6th Pasuk. Shivos yomim tochal matzos, for 7 days you shall eat matzah. Uvayomashvi'i chag laHashem, and the 7th day shall be a holiday, a festival for Hashem. So here we learn, first of all, this is the concept of the first days of Yontif and the 2nd days of Yontif. Really, it should be just the first day of Yontif in Israel. The way that it's celebrated is Pesach is a 7-day holiday. The first day is a Yontif, and the 7th day is a Yontif. It's the first day and the last day. That's learned from this Pasuk. Uvayom ha-shvi'i chag la-Hashem. The 7th day should be a festival to Hashem. Even though it's a 7-day holiday, only the 7th day is a festival, has the status of what we would call a Yontif, or like the halachas of a Shabbos, except for the fact that you can cook. The fact that we have the 2 days there because of the diaspora, which we've discussed already. Someone once pointed out to me how confusing it is for someone who is new to the concept of the Passover holiday, trying to keep track of the first of the second days, and the first of the first days, and the second of the first days, and the first of the second days. I've heard from many people that they have no idea where they're eating. They just, because they can't keep straight who's invited them for the first night of the 2nd day, the 2nd night of the 1st day. What is this? And it is rather confusing. What it's supposed to be is simply the 1st day and the 7th day. Now, another point on this verse, it says for 7 days you need to eat matzahs. Shivas yomim tochal matzahs. So elsewhere it says, ach bayom harishon tochal matzahs. On the 1st day, you'll eat matzah. So the commentators are bothered. What is it? Is it 1 day or 7 days? Because one time the verse says you eat matzah on the 1st day. Then it says eat matzahs for 7 days. So they learn out that the 1st day is a requirement to eat matzah. At the Seder, that 1st night, you're required to eat matzah. For the next 7 days, if you want to make a meal out of something, it has to be matzah. But you're not obligated to eat matzah for the remaining days of Pesach, just for the first 2 days during the Seder, each one of those 2 nights at the Seder, that's where there's an obligation to eat matzah, but he who does not want to eat matzah would not be required outside of that. If he does, many commentators hold it as fulfillment of a mitzvah, but it's not a requirement to eat matzah. It's also learned out from this verse. Okay, let's move on. There's one more important thing I want to get to. Zion. Verse 7. Matzos yeachel eish shivas hayamim. Again, for the 7 days you will eat matzah. Velo yeira elocha chametz, velo yeira elocha saor b'chol gvulecha. You shall not see, no chametz shall be seen in your possession, nor shall any leaven or any leavening agent or product be in your possession in all of your borders. This is what's colloquially known in the literature as lo yeira that it should not be seen, chametz should not be found in your home. You cannot even literally see it. So there's a prohibition against possessing chametz. There's a prohibition against seeing it in any of your areas. Again, if you sell your chametz, it's not yours. This is only a prohibition against your own. Right? The verse is lo yeira elocha. You shall not. Your chametz shall not be seen in any of your possessions or property. So if you sell it to a non-Jew where it's not owned by you, it doesn't belong to you, it's not yours, there's no provision. You know, we lock it away anyway so that we don't come to eat it. That's the reason why we lock our chametz away is not for this prohibition of not seeing it, because it's not ours. assuming you've sold it, which you must. But the problem is that all year round, you go into your cabinets and you munch. That's what we do. So on Pesach, where there's two problems. A, you'd be stealing. And B, you're prohibited from eating chametz, which B is obviously much more severe and significant than A. Stealing is, you just repay the money. Eating chametz on Pesach is one of the most severe punishments in all of the Torah. So we lock things away in order to protect ourselves from coming to eat it. But technically, you don't even have to do that. You could leave it open because it's not mine. I don't own it. It doesn't belong to me. But that's why we do what we do. Okay, so Moshe basically, again, in context, goes through, when you get to the land that I have promised you, says Hashem, you'll do the Korban Pesach offering, you'll eat matzah for 7 days during this time of year, you will not have any chametz not in your possession. And then he says, Pasuk Ches, which is a familiar pasuk from the Haggadah, V'higadato levincho b'yoyim ha'hu le'mor, you will say to your son on that day, or on this day, well, on that day, saying, Ba'avur zeh aso Hashem li b'teisi min Mitzrayim. It is because of this that Hashem has done this for me, has acted on my behalf when I left Mitzrayim. V'higadato levincho b'yoyim ha'hu le'mor, you will say to your son on that day, because of this, Hashem has done this for me. Enough to define what this is. What do you mean, because of this, that Hashem has done this? But you will say that to your son. So in context, you have the what Moshe basically said is, you will get to the land of Israel, you will do the Korban Pesach, you will eat matzah for 7 days, you won't have any chametz, and you will tell your children, it is because of this that Hashem has taken me out of Mitzrayim. Okay, let's pause. Let's go back to the Rashi in Pasuk Hey. Pasuk Hey says, when you get, verse 5 says, when you get to the land of Israel, you will do the Korban Pesach offering. Says Rashi, Esaha Avoida Hazos, if you want to follow it inside, it's in the first column of Rashi, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines from the bottom. Says Rashi, Esaha Avoida Hazos Shal Pesach, you will do the service of the Korban Pesach. Asks Rashi a question, V'halo kvar nemar l'mala, does it not already say, V'hayoki savo'u el ha'aretz, when you approach the land of Israel? See, if you want to flip back, it's just a couple of pages. It's in chapter 12, verse 25, on page 356. Just reading it inside there, it's start from verse 25, which is really English, on page 357. It shall be that when you come to the land that Hashem will give you, as He has spoken, you shall observe this service. Sound familiar? Right, it's literally almost word for word the exact same idea that Moshe is saying in our chapter that we're studying. When you get to the land of Israel, you'll perform this service. Continues in verse 26 on page 357. It shall be that when your children say to you, what is this service to you? You shall say, it is a Pesach feast offering to Hashem, who passed over our houses, the houses of the children of Israel, when He smote the Egyptians, but He saved our households. So we have that in chapter early in verse 12, that when your children will say, what is this service to you? You will answer, this is a Pesach offering. Asks Rashi the question in our verse on page 362, why does Moshe say, when you get to the land of Israel, do this service? It's exactly what it said a chapter before. When you get to the land of Israel, offer the Korban Pesach. Says Rashi, Bishvil Dovershin is Chadish. Well, it's repeated because there's a new thing that's taught here. Biparsha Rishona Nemar, Vihoyo Ki Yomru Aleichem Benechem Maha Avodah Hazoslochem. What I read to you, if you still have your finger there, on page 356 and 357, there's a question which is being asked. Note the question. Read it again from 25. It shall be that when you come to the land that Hashem will give you, as He has spoken, you shall observe this service. And then 26 says, and it shall be that when your children say to you, Maha avodah azos lachem, when they ask the question and they say, what is this that you're doing? What is this sacrifice all about? Then you'll give them the following answer. If you flip back to our chapter, chapter 13, if you look at verse 8, what is it saying? You shall tell your son on that day, saying, it is because of this that Hashem acted on my behalf. What's the difference between verse 6 in our chapter and what we had previously? There's no question. You open up and tell your children. Says Rashi, now this should all be familiar to you from the Haggadah, but what we're learning is the source of where the Haggadah is getting it. Says Rashi, the Parsha Rishona Nemar, in the earlier Parsha, which we, on page 356-57, verse 12, in chapter 12, it says, V'hoyo ki yomru aleichem enechem, ma ha'avodah azos lachem. Who remembers? Whose question is that? Ma ha'avodah azos lachem? Which one of the four sons?
The
one. Rasha. Ma ha'avodah hazos lochem. To you. Right, the God that says, how did he ask the question? He says, what's this to you, but not for himself? He's taking himself out of the equation. The ven Rasha ha'kosu medaber, says Rashi. This is a reference to the wicked son. Ma ha'avodah hazos lochem. Shehosi es atzmo min haklal. He has removed himself from the general people. He says, what's this to you? I'm not asking the question, what is this? Or what are we learning? What is this avoda to you? Vikan, and in chapter 13, what we've been studying, the pasuk says, vihigadito lebincha, you shall tell your son as follows. Beven she'eni yodeya lishol. This is a reference to the son who does not know how to ask. There is no question that is asked in the verse that we studied. It says, do this service, and then tell your children as follows, Bavur Zeh, because of this, Hashem has done this for me. And the Torah is teaching you, Akosim Melam Dechosh Ez Rashi, Shetiftach Lo Atah, you have to open up to him, Bedivrei Agado Hamoishchen Es Halev. What word does the Torah use when it says to tell your son? What word is there in the Torah? What does it say in verse 8, Pasuk Ches? Vihigadita. What's the root of that word?
Haggadah.
Right, familiar for everybody, I hope, right? Famous. Everybody, every Jew in the world knows the Passover Haggadah. Not everybody knows what its root is. Lahagid, to tell over. The Haggadah is about telling over. It doesn't say, Vayomer Lebincha, or Va'omer, tell, say to him, or teach him. Vahagadita. He got it to tell him over. Rashi says it's an I got it. So you know, in the Gemara, there are two types of passages in the Talmud. There's the halachic passage, and then there's what we call Agadita, which is full of parables or stories or riddles, not a halachic base. A story pulls in your heart. A story, a Haggadah, is all about a story, telling over the Pesach story. It's different than teaching a law. It's different than sitting in a class. A Haggadah, v'higadito lebincha, Rashi says, tell him over divrei Haggadah. Tell him over that type of teaching which will lead to a discussion and draw him in to Moshkin Esalev, literally pulls the heart into the dialogue, into the discussion. And I'm sure all of you are aware as listeners, but certainly from my perspective as a speaker, you give a sermon and you're sermonizing and you're going on, and then you say, and last Tuesday, all of a sudden you see it. You see the, like you grabbed everybody right away. A story. I'll listen to a story. It's always that way. And it's well known in all, you know, anyone who speaks knows that a good story goes much farther than anything else. There's something about telling stories that literally pulls at the heart. It grabs our attention. It makes us want to listen. So the Torah uses the phrase, v'higadito lebincha. That's how you tell over a story. You don't pull out a Gemara and start learning the halachas of Pesach. You tell them over the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. You tell them over the story of the Exodus, and you make it in a way that it becomes like a story. That's part of the mitzvah of telling over the story. So Rashi quotes, here you have, in our verse, the fourth of the four sons, as far as the Haggadah goes, the son who doesn't know how to ask. So what do you do with the son who doesn't know how to ask? At ptachlo, you open up for him. V'higadito lebincha. There's no question that's asked in our verse. It just says, tell over your son. Says Rashi, who is that a reference to? A reference to the son who doesn't know to ask a question. So you tell him. Previously, in verse 12, in chapter 12, it says, V'hoyo ki yashilcha, it'll be when your children will ask, let me just get the exact language of the verse, it says, ki yomru aleichem b'nechem, when your sons will say to you, ma ha'avodah zos lachem. I believe also, by the way, that part of the reason why we know that that's the wicked son, it doesn't say, ki yashilcha es bincha, it doesn't say when your son will ask of you, says Vahoyu Kiyomru, when your children will say to you, what is this service to you? There's a difference between when I ask you, what is this service, and when I say to you, what is this service, I'm not looking for an answer. I'm stating to you, what is this? That's a statement, that's not a question. So that's also one of the places where the sages see that that is the question of the wicked one who is removing himself, not just the righteous, because it's Kiyomru Lachem Benechem, when your children will say to you, as opposed to other references in the Torah where it says when your sons will ask of you. But our verse does not even have a question. It just says you will open up and tell him. So what do you tell him? What do you answer him? Ba'avor zed is because of this Hashem has done for me. So Rashi says, what is the because of this? What does it mean, ba'avor zeh? So Rashi says, last line in the first column, ba'avor she'akayim mitzvoisov kigon pesach matzah u'morur halalu. Because of this, Hashem took me out of Mitzrayim. What is the this that Hashem took me out? He took me out in order that I should be able to fulfill His mitzvahs, like the Karban Pesach that you see in front of you, like the matzah that's on the table, like the maror that's on the table. This is why Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. You tell your son, it's because of this that we are here. It's not because you felt bad for us that we were slaves. It's not because you wanted us to have a better life, of freedom. Because He wanted us to fulfill His mitzvahs. And it's because of these things that are on the table right now, this is the exact reason why He's taken us out of Mitzrayim. And the language of the Father is, Aso Hashem Li. Because of this, Hashem has done for me, B'tzeisi Mim Mitzrayim. And Rashi says, in that phrase of Aso Hashem Li, Hashem has done for me, that is a hint to the way that we respond to the wicked son as well. That this is a hint to the response, even though right now we are talking to which son?
The
one who doesn't know how to ask. The way that we respond to him, says Rashi, is a hint to the way that we need to respond to the wicked son. Because the way that I say to the son, I say, this is why Hashem did this to me. Says Rashi, Li v'loy l'cha, me, but it wouldn't be for you. She'ilu ha'isa sha'am lo ha'isi kezai l'go. Had you been there, you would not have been fit to have been redeemed. Once you've taken yourself out of a call, once you've removed yourself from the Jewish people, you wouldn't have been redeemed either. You had to be part of the team in order to be redeemed. And the hint to the way that we respond to the wicked son is buried in the way that the Torah responds to the righteous son. And a question that I'll leave you with, not for today, we're out of time, I want to do one more verse. We do not respond to the wicked son in the Haggadah the way the Torah actually does. If you go back to page 356, verses 25 and 26, the Torah describes the question of the wicked son. It says, and it shall be that when your children say to you, what is this service to you? You shall say, it is a Pesach feast offering to Hashem who passed over the houses of the children of Israel. Is that what we respond to the wicked son at the Haggadah, at the table? It's not. What is it going to say to do the wicked son? You knock out his teeth, right? Sharpen his teeth and say, had you been there, ba'avor zeh, aso Hashem li. We quote the verse from the response to the child who doesn't know how to ask. We take that phrase, the back half of it, aso Hashem li, Hashem did this for me, and we say, had you been there, you wouldn't have been redeemed. But the Torah actually has a response. The Torah, to the question of the wicked son, of what is the service to you, says, it is a Pesach offering to Hashem. Who do we answer that? We do give this answer to the Haggadah, but to who? To the simple son. This is what we say to the simple son. The Tam, who says, Mazos, what's this? You say, Pesach Hu Lashem. This is a Karban Pesach who's taking me out of Egypt. So the question that I will leave you with is working that out. Why in the Haggadah are the responses not exactly the way the Torah seems to have each question and answer? The question of the wicked is given an answer in the Torah, which is not the answer given in the Haggadah. The simple son who says, Mazos, what is this? To him we give the answer that the Torah has to the wicked son. To the wicked son we give the answer of what's given to the son who doesn't know how to ask. Just since Pesach is all about questions, I will I will leave you with that. But one last pasuk, I just want to complete with that which we're doing. Pasuk Tes and Yud 9 and 10. The Hayolcha LaOsal Yodcho LaZikaron Beinei Necha. You will have a remembrance, a sign on your arms and between your eyes, literally on your head, in the form of tefillin. And we write in the tefillin Parshios of Yetzias Mitzrayim, so that the story of the Exodus is literally signs on our arms and on our heads. And now the Torah gives the reason for the mitzvah of tefillin, Antia Torah Hashem Beficha, so that the Torah of Hashem should always be in our mouths, should always be on our lips, because with a strong hand Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, and you will always observe this decree, and it's designated time from year to year. Those are just some of the verses based on this, on the Pesach story. It's interesting that we could study this in terms of the flow, but we have a lot more. The Ramban talks a lot more about that. How Moshe opens up with the concept of the sanctity of the firstborn, goes to the prohibition of Chametz, the concept of remembering always Yetzias Mitzrayim, doing the Pesach service once you get to Mitzrayim, the way that we respond to the son who doesn't know how to ask, with tefillin, a lot there. Also including the prohibition of eating chametz for 7 days and matzah for 7 days. But I just wanted to study some of these, some of those psukim with you. Alright. Next week, Meretz Hashem, I do not believe there will be a class. Just as far as, I'm not sure where your Pesach preparations are going to go, but as far as mine goes, I'm going to call it here for our Pesach break. And I can spread the word to anyone who is not here today. No, Meretz Hashem, put it in the email and the flyer, but just state that, and we'll continue Meretz Hashem. After Pesach, Pesach will end on a Sunday night. So that Tuesday. So we'll pick up that Tuesday following Pesach.